Thank you. You know, I appreciate the way you worship, that all of you engage and worship the Lord and make a joyful noise to the Lord. But that just it just really helps the atmosphere. And plus, it's very scriptural for us to do that. It reminds me of the story of a church that had a choir, and the pastor was approached by the choir director and said, you're going to have to talk to Bill on our team. He just can't sing, but he thinks he can. And so we're really having issues with the people around him because he's out of tune, and it throws them off. And so we need you to do something. And so the pastor worked up his muster, and he met him out in the hallway one Sunday. Said, "Bill, I want to talk to you." He said, "Maybe you shouldn't be in the choir." "Well, why shouldn't I be in the choir?" He said, "Well, there's been five or six people have mentioned that you really can't sing." He said, "Well, that's nothing. I've had 50 or 60 people tell me you can't preach." Well, everybody has their opinions, don't they? But you know what really matters is what God's Word says. And we always want to be hiding God's Word in our heart. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Stand up with me, and we want to recite this scripture. This is a scripture we're memorizing. We try to memorize the scripture each month. And this month, it's a beautiful word from Romans 1:16. Let's read this together. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Let's do it again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Amen. The whole gospel for the whole world. Don't ever underestimate the power of the gospel, and never underestimate how God can use you to bring someone to Jesus. Thank you all for being here. You may be seated. Well, today we want to talk about the fact that He's alive. Amen. Now, every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, but this is a day of the year that marks on the calendar for us the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And that is such good news. The resurrection is foundational. It's fundamental to our lives as Christians. If you don't believe in the resurrection, well, the Bible has some things to say about that. Okay? Now, let's look at the scripture. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. And just as we read this, kind of receive how important it is to believe in the resurrection. The literal, not only the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Very important. Here's what Paul had to say. "Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen." Let me stop in the middle of a verse. Just a little technical part here. In the original language, the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, it was written in Koine Greek, not even classical Greek that has the all caps. It was Koine Greek, all smaller case. But the verb here, risen in the original, it's what they call, it's in the perfect tense, which simply means this. It refers to an action that has happened, but has ongoing, continuing results. Now, how does that apply? It's like Paul is saying, but now Christ is risen. Christ has been raised from the dead, continues to be raised from the dead. He's been awakened from the sleep of death and continues to be awake. He's alive. He's still raised. Jesus raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus would die again. A man was thrown on the bones of the prophet in the Old Testament and raised from the dead, but yet he died again. But Christ has been raised to never die again. He's the exalted, risen Lord. Now, back to the verse. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's about to explain that, but let me insert. He's saying that death came about as a result of something a man did, and it was Adam. And because man sinned, death came on all mankind. So God sent Jesus as a man, live as a man, full of the Holy Spirit, but also to die as a man, conquer death, and be raised from the dead as a man. Because it says this, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Now we get a summary of end times. Look at this. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he has put an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Men are still dying, but because of Christ's resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, death will one day be no more. Jesus has conquered it. He's conquered it. But now in the season in which we live, it's appointed unto us to die. It's appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. In other words, when we die, there's something that happens after we die. A number of years ago, as a matter of fact, 1992, I was pastoring in Senatobia, Mississippi, and one morning I was at work studying. During that time, I was working on my doctoral degree, and so I would go down to church early before anybody got there, and I'd work a few hours. And I was down there, and I heard a pounding on the entrance to the office area. So I left my office and went to the door, and as I approached the door, I could see a young woman standing outside the door. I'd never seen her before. I did not know her. I could tell she was upset. She was disturbed just from her expressions. So I opened the door, and she said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes, I'm Eddie Lawrence." I introduced myself. And she said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, come on in." And as she came in, she said, I had something happen this morning, and I need to talk to a preacher. So I got out in my car driving, and I've been driving around, and I drove by the church, and I saw there was a car here and a light on, so... That's the reason I knocked on the door. And I said, "Well, okay, just tell me what happened." She said, "Well, I woke up about 5:30 this morning. I went down from upstairs downstairs to the kitchen. I prepared my coffee. I got my coffee, and I was going into the room where I was going to sit down with my coffee. And I walked by the stairs, and I looked up the stairs, and my daddy was standing at the top of the stairs." She said, "But my daddy doesn't live here. My dad lives in New Jersey." And that got my attention. And she said, he's been sick. But she said, he was just standing there. He had a smile on his face. He was looking at me. And then he just He just disappeared right before my eyes. And she said, and about 5 minutes later, my phone rang. I answered the phone, only to have someone inform me that my dad had died just a few minutes previous. I don't know what to do with this. And I certainly didn't understand things about the spirit realm in the way that I do now, and I'm still learning, as we all are. But I knew enough to tell her, well, you know, the Bible teaches that when we die, that our spirit leaves our body. James says the body without the spirit is dead. So what we call death primarily here is physical death, right? It's when our spirit leaves our body. There's also a spiritual death. You can be physically alive and spiritually dead. You are until you come to know Jesus. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 says we're dead in our trespasses and our sins. So there's spiritual death. But then the Bible talks about a second death. This is an eternal death. And this is the ultimate death because it means an eternal separation from God. So I didn't go through all of that with her, but I explained that when the spirit leaves the body, that physical death occurs. And I said, and spirits can take on a bodily form. We see that in the Scripture. Angels can appear and look like people. We know that. God, there's a capability that God makes available. I believe that's all up to Him. But I said, that obviously you recognize, and I said, if this was the Lord doing something, He was just letting you know your dad's all right. You know, and the Lord was also letting you know that that the spirit world's real. Do you know the Lord? And she said that she had gotten away from the Lord, and I was able to pray with her, comfort her concerning the loss of her dad, which she was upset by that, try to encourage her that what had happened to her was the Lord loving on her, I believe, and she recommitted her life to the Lord. You see, this life is not all there is. It can be wonderful. If you know the Lord, God originally created we people to live in pleasure in a place called Eden. And sin messed that up. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came. And death passed on to all men. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15. But this is not all there is. I hope you also noticed when we read the Scripture that it basically said if there's no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. The resurrection is pivotal. Our belief in the resurrection is required. Paul makes that clear. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and, notice that, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Don't be a denier of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I'm going to wrap my thoughts this morning around three simple thoughts. I want to talk about the person of the resurrection. We're going to see that's Jesus. I want to talk about the power of the resurrection and then the promise of the resurrection. But pay attention because I believe the Lord wants us to leave here today fully alive to Him. I believe the Lord wants to do ministry in our lives. We're living in a time when there's such warfare against the basic, fundamental, rudimentary teachings of Scripture. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did. That's important that you believe Christ died on your cross for your sins. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for you. Matter of fact, when He came as a man, He came as you, as a man, to do what you couldn't do for yourself. When He was raised from the dead, He did that so that He could live in you through His Spirit. When He ascended, then that He poured out the Holy Spirit in power so that He could live not only in you but through you. All of those are important beliefs of New Testament Christianity. And the devil would like to pick those off in your life one by one. He's aiming to get you to raise a generation that doesn't believe in those things any longer. So let's talk about the person of the resurrection. Now the Scripture we just read out of 1 Corinthians 15, do you notice that it mentioned the name Christ 12 times? 12 times in those verses, speaking of the resurrection, it's referred to the resurrection of Christ. Christ. There have been many religious leaders who have come on the scene and left this earth. They shared teachings and they gave what they called their revelation. Basically, that if you live the way Buddha said to live, in the end, it's just poof. That's it. Poof. To blow out. No desire. Well, what would that be like? I mean, how can you love God with all your heart and not have, and in all your soul and strength? Poof, that's what it is. And then you've got Hinduism and the Brahmas and the gurus, and it's about reincarnation. Not resurrection, but reincarnation. You come back in a different form of life, and if you live good, you can move up the ladder. You know? And that's where we get the term sacred cows, is that this belief that actually you might have relatives that came back as an animal, as a cow, sacred cow. Seriously, but Buddha is in the ground somewhere still. The gurus and Brahmas that originally came up with that, they're in the ground somewhere. The Dalai Lamas, although it may be some good moral teaching to love people and that kind of thing, there's been, they got 14, the 14th one now, the 13 that preceded him, they're in the ground somewhere. All the Caesars that claimed to be men who became gods, they're in the ground somewhere. But then there was this another teacher. His beginning was as a baby in a stall surrounded by animals. He grew up, God came upon him with power at his baptism, but that baby was born from a womb of a virgin woman by the seed of God. He became the God-man. He was God who became a man. He was the eternal, everlasting Son of the living God who in a moment of human history became a man, lived as a man, except sinlessly, died. He would never had to have died because he never sinned. The wages of sin is death, so no sin, no death. But he went to the cross and he took upon him our sins. The Bible says it this way. He became sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He lived as a man. He died as a man. He was buried as a man. And he came out of the tomb as the eternal God-man. You see, Jesus is still existing in a glorified body at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And our life as believers is hidden with Christ in God. We're in union with Him. We're limited here on this earth in our physical body, but our spirits are very much in union with Him as He is seated in the spirit realm in heavenly places by God the Father. And we read from this scripture, there will come a time at the end, He's going to come back. A lot of stuff's going to happen. It's going to end up the way God wants it to. He's going to deliver the kingdom to God. It's going to be awesome. More about that maybe in a few moments. But He's the person of the resurrection. And even in the Bible, one of the proofs the Bible's the Word of God is that it doesn't edit the bad stuff. It tells the story just like it is. I mean, if you had written the Bible, and I mean, like Peter was sharing, you know, with Mark, as Mark written in the Gospels, those apostles, they shared their stuff. I mean, if you was Peter and you was being a reference, would you have told about Jesus calling you Satan? Get behind me, Satan. But no, they tell it like it was so that we can know how it is. Jesus has been raised from the dead. In the Bible, some people called Him, He's a madman. In another place, as they watched His miracles, He's doing it by the power of the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub. He's got a demon. He's demon-possessed man, madman, a demon-possessed man. Some thought, oh, He's just a leader who led a failed coup attempt. Theologians and commentators that are much too liberal would say, oh, the resurrection, it's not real. He was a lunatic. Some call Him a liar. Some say it's just legend. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is not folklore. He is not fairy tale. He's not myth. He is not legend. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Christ. He's the head of the church. He is the eternal, forever, Lord of all lords, King of all kings. And when they took Him off that cross and they put Him in the ground, death could not hold on to Him, because on the third day, the Spirit of God came in that tomb, brought Him back to life. He appeared to the disciples, to 500 people at once, to Paul, to others, the ones whom God chose. And throughout history, people continue to give their lives. Many still continue to die as martyrs because they have met Him. I know He's alive. I talked to Him just a little bit ago. Don't hang your hat on a belief whose founder has returned to dust and remained there. If they could have found His body, the Romans and the Jewish leaders would have paraded it up and down the street to prove the resurrection as a lie. Death couldn't hang on to the body of Jesus, and they sure weren't about to hang on to it. The person of the resurrection is Jesus Christ. Every time we take communion and we hold that bread in our hand, that's the body of Jesus that was nailed to the cross. When we hold the cup, we're realizing, we're remembering, that's the blood that Jesus shed at the cross. That's one of our ordinances. That means that is a practice that's ordained by God for us to continue to do. How long do we do it? Jesus said, do this. When you do this, you show forth My death until I come. We're to continue that until He comes back. Okay? The other ordinance that we believe in, and this is important, is the ordinance of baptism. You see, communion speaks of the crucifixion. Believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. You've got to believe Jesus died on the cross. Paul said, this is the gospel I preach, how Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the Scripture. It was prophesied. How He was buried, and according to the Scriptures, how He was raised from the dead on the third day. So the bread and the cup represents what He did on the cross. But when you're baptized, you are demonstrating your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When you come out of that watery grave, you are declaring that I serve a living Lord. You're also saying, I've died to my sins in Christ, and I've been raised to walk in a new life given to me by Christ. And you're also saying, though, one day this physical body, when it dies and it's put in the ground, when Jesus comes back, it'll be raised up from the dead. You see, the resurrection is fundamental. It's priority. It's important. You must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk a moment about the power. I like the way that, just say that with me, power. Or old timers, power. The power of the resurrection. I'm sure you thought about it, but that is a pretty powerful thing. Somebody that's dead. That got people's attention after 4 days when Lazarus was in that tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of there. He came out. And that same Lord one day will the voice of the archangel, the shout of God, but there will, I think Jesus will declare, come forth! And every grave will burst open. There will be a resurrection of the just. There will be a resurrection of the unjust. Blessed is he who takes part in the first resurrection. Let's talk about the power of the resurrection. Let me share this scripture with you. Romans 6:11. You see, when we're talking about the power of the resurrection, it's not just a future event. It's also a present reality in our life. Look at this scripture, Romans 6:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. Any of us would be on the 6 o'clock news this afternoon if you were driving down the road and there was a dead possum in the road and somebody flipped out their phone for a YouTube video and you walked up to that possum and it was obvious it had been ran over, you know, squished. Sorry about that, but I want you to get the point. You got out of your vehicle and you looked at that possum and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up. That possum began to quiver, stand up, wiggling that tail, and goes off in the woods. You'd be on 6 o'clock news. That'd be something. Now, wouldn't it? Yet, the Word of God says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, believer. Oh, my goodness. I'm convicted. I mean, what we have versus what we see. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Now, this can have a twofold meaning, and I think it does. He will give life to our mortal bodies that perish, die, decompose, and return to dust. That's the resurrection. But also, while we yet remain, before we die or before Jesus returns, the Spirit within us supplies us a power from God to live the life each of us were created by God to live. And that's between you and the Lord to discern and for you to hear what you're supposed to be doing with your life, how you're supposed to be living your life. The Bible, that's one reason we gather on Sundays, is to be taught these things, but you have to apply it to your life. You have to obey it. You have to walk it out. But when you got saved, the Spirit of God came to dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. But to know that the Holy Spirit who entered that tomb and brought Jesus out from death is dwelling in us, what a powerful, intoxicating thought. Keep it holy. That's the only way it's going to work. He's the Holy Spirit. But that's powerful. So this is the power of resurrection life. Every time somebody gets saved, it is a demonstration of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Because when a person says, I confess you, Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart God raised you from the dead, that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead then comes into your life, regenerates you, and moves you from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Christ. It's a spiritual resurrection that takes place inside of you when you get saved. You are able to be restored to a relationship like Adam had in the garden, to be able to hear from God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to keep, tend, till, and keep like Adam did, to have authority in the earth. And there's so much more. We're hitting the high spots here. But that's resurrection power. I've been reading lately of the numbers of Muslims that are coming to know Jesus because they are being visited in their dreams by the Lord. And they have these encounters, and when they wake up, they're wanting to find a believer. They're wanting somebody to talk to them and lead them to Jesus. I read an account of one who's now a brother of ours in the Lord. His name's Ali. And he was on his journey to Mecca. That is a lifetime pilgrimage that every Muslim desires to make and keep in with their teachings. And he was on his journey to Mecca. That's a big, big deal for them. And one night during his journey, before he got there, he had a dream. Jesus appeared to him, put his hand on his head, and it so shook him that he turned around, went back home, and is now ministering for the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life to Jesus and is following Jesus. That story is being repeated hundreds and hundreds of times. One Muslim lady that was interviewed said, and they had to kind of darken her screen to keep her out of trouble because of where she lived, But she said, if you came and visited our church where we're worshiping Jesus, 80% of the people would tell you that it was through a vision or dream that they were first encountered the Lord. You see, even when the gospel is not allowed into certain places, the Holy Spirit didn't get that memo. But believers are still needed. Discipled. But there's such power in the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. We're memorizing that this month because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He's the one that moves into a life and spiritually resurrects somebody and makes them alive to God. The power of resurrection. I had a man that I knew previously. I'd pastored in a city where he lived previously and knew him. But then after we moved to Florence, I was doing a meeting one night in a different place. And during the invitation time, ministry time, he came up. And this is his testimony. And he shared it publicly. He came up in response to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was addicted to coke cocaine. I mean, terribly. Wasted was a constant for him, just to be wasted. He was addicted to alcohol. Couldn't let it go, and it wouldn't let go of him. He was addicted to pornography. He said later, he told Pastor Eddie, I had it bad. I was just consuming it constantly. And he was addicted to cigarettes, had a nicotine addiction. He came up to the altar that night. The power of God came upon him, and he surrendered his heart, asked Jesus to come into his life. And you could just see his countenance change. And Pastor Doc, I know you've seen this many times too, but it's just awesome to just see someone's countenance change right before your very eyes because you know the Spirit of God's doing something inside of them. The Bible says when you're saved, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. But he got free. And I was able to watch his journey for a few years after that because he got connected in church. But he said, this is his testimony, I never had another desire for crack cocaine. I never had another desire for the alcohol. I didn't return to the pornography. But he had trouble with the nicotine. He continued smoking. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that separates you from the Lord or anything like that. It's not good for you. And it's something that can be controlling because you have to schedule everything around it. But he just couldn't kick that. So he came in. After about 2 years, he came in to see me. And we were talking. I said, well, brother, you know, you experienced God's power in these areas, but you still haven't followed the Lord in baptism. Because he had been holding out on that. He had this idea that certain things need to be a certain way. And I said, you need to be baptized. So he said, okay. He committed. And we baptized him, and this is his testimony, that when he came up out of the water from his baptism, since that moment, he's never had another desire for a cigarette. Again, that's just a demonstration. Even in baptism, you know, I'm buried with Christ by baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. That resurrection power came in there and disconnected him from that. Just touched him. And I'm not saying that's the testimony for everybody in every situation, but that step of obedience opened up things for him to get free. Something to think about. Something to pray. There may be people here this morning that you are confessing Christ, but you've never followed him into the watery grave of baptism. That has to do, you're prophesying his resurrection when you're baptized. You're declaring your own spiritual resurrection when you're baptized. You're declaring your future bodily resurrection when you're baptized. It's important. It's important. I encourage you to make that decision today if you have not. The power of the resurrection. The last thing I want to talk about is the promise of the resurrection. The sentence that we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, if Christ be not risen, if there's no resurrection, then those who have fallen asleep in Jesus have perished. If this is all there is, Paul said, we're of most people most pitiable. But Christ, now Christ is risen. But when he said those have fallen asleep, he's talking about believers who have died and gone on before us. And there's some of you here this morning, well, probably every one of us in the room, there's been somebody that we've stood there at a funeral and realizing, until I die, I won't get to see them again. But if you're not a Christian, you can't say that. We all realize that those that have gone on to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. They're two thumbs up, they're good. But it tears our hearts apart. Because it's someone that was such a part of our life. Some of you have lost spouses. Parents. Then I suppose one of the most difficult things is to lose your child. But our belief in the resurrection, knowing that Jesus has conquered death, though physical death creates separation from us, between us and our believing loved ones, it is just temporary. Our blessed hope is when our Lord Jesus will return, and when He returns, Paul said it this way, that we're not to sorrow as those that have no hope. He goes on to say, there's coming a time when the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. I think that's that come forth. And the voice of the archangel, that's the archangel, the ruler angels. Okay, guys, get it together. We're heading south. Woo! And the trump of God, marshaling the heavenly host together. The disciples that saw Jesus ascend, they were given a promise. They said, this same Jesus whom you've seen ascend into the heavens will return in the same manner. When He comes back, they saw Him leave, and we'll see Him coming. How can God do that? I mean, the bodily resurrection now. We talked about spiritual resurrection. That's when you get saved. But the bodily resurrection, because God's desire was, I'm going to have me an earth, and I'm going to put people on it. They're going to have a material body made out of the dust, and I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to fellowship with them. They're going to oversee it for me. That's where we're headed. That's where we came from. It got messed up. It's getting restored. And that's where we're going to. It's in the book. But how can God do that? Such power that, I mean, there have been people that have been buried at sea. Nibbled on by the sea urchins. And they're, where are they? They're, I mean, who can keep up with that? People that are buried and their body returns to dust. Or they've been cremated and in their ashes. That's no problem for God. That is no problem for God. You just leave that to Him. Don't you worry about that. If He could say, light be, and the galaxies came into being, if He could take some dirt, form it into man and go, and then a man stands up, a perfect man, made in His image with God's Spirit in him. If God can do that, He won't have any trouble bringing our loved ones up from the earth. And those of us who are alive, if we're alive when Jesus comes back, the Bible says we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll just be like, oh my, and then upgrade. and then up. God's going to do it. There's no problem for Him. He who spanned the galaxies with a word will have no trouble reconstituting. And say, I believe we will have identity. We will know as we are known. I don't know what age we're going to be, but I imagine it's going to be the perfect age. Probably not the age I am right now. But you don't have to worry about the wear and tear, the hurts and the heartaches, or any of that. Any of that kind of stuff. You know, I believe there's a few folks here right now that it's just like you're being so bombarded. It's like a vexation. Just thoughts filling your mind. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. And some of this is concerned about what's beyond or those that have gone before. Let me step over here into this just a moment. I just want to say, I feel like God never intended for our minds to have to process evil. Think about it. I'm just now kind of thinking about this, so let's think about it. He never intended us to process evil. That when man and woman were put in the garden, they were forbidden to participate or connect with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they did not have a personal knowledge of evil, so the human mind was not originally created with the capacity or capability to process evil. Only good. Only that which is life-giving. Now, how much would that clean things up for us if we could just use it that way? Just think about it. Think about the book of Revelation. When, at the end, and when we're all brought together before the Lord and we've gone through the judgment and all of that, the Bible declares this. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There'll come a time, maybe tears of rejoicing, but then all that's over. In other words, everything that evil has caused, every life and every way we've been decimated by the presence of evil will be no more. Death itself will be no more. All that will be gone. So our capability and our capacity will be only good. It will only be life-giving. You won't know how to lust wrongly. You won't know how to covet or greed. I mean, that's just not, it's not on the radar anymore. Because we haven't been touched by evil. Free. Free. And all of that's going to be possible because of Jesus' death, burial, and His resurrection to provide us access, not only for the power of the Spirit now, resurrection power to live this life, but access into the future, the eternal realm, when the kingdom's handed over. Because the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven. The devil rebelled in the old one. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth because this one's been under the curse. And Jesus died to break the power of the curse and deliver. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new city called Heavenly Jerusalem that's going to come down and be in this new earth. And we'll be able to go in and out and carry out the assignments and all the activity that God's going to have for us. Don't see a big fluffy marshmallow and a harp and you're just standing there, for a million and a half years. God's going to have, who knows what galaxies He's going to be sending you to and other stuff He's got going on out there that we're not even aware of. And yet we're not going to have the capacity to entertain evil. And in our memories, now think, this is a coming, but listen, just think about this. How much harassment, this goes back to what I was sensing early so strong, how much harassment do we go through? Because the enemy knows if he can access our minds and get to us with evil, we weren't made to deal with that. It messes up everything God created. Perverts it. Whether it's you know, our relationships, our identity, our sexuality, all of that. Our minds can be corrupted by that evil influence. Daniel called it the wearing down of the saints, that bombarding. And so in the name of Jesus right now, the name of the risen, resurrected Lord, I just come against, just bow your heads for a moment. I'll finish this message in a second, but just bow your heads for a moment. I come against every vexing spirit, every harassing spirit that would try to bring evil, come into memories, and try to insert evil and bring fear, doubt, unbelief, and dread. I come against you in the name of Jesus across this audience and over the life of every person now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against these vexing spirits. I bind you in Jesus' name on the authority of God's Word. I declare over God's people this morning, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. So these vexations, these harassments, this oppression is being broken now. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Be loosed from it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In this way, this is one way that we bring the heaven that we're looking forward to down to earth right now so that we can experience more of it now in the here and now. We were not made for that. Am I making sense? We were not made for that. We were not made to live that way. We were not made to think that way. It is an oppression or a vexation from the enemy. So I just declare over you, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Again, greater is the Spirit of God in you, the one that raised Jesus from the dead, than any harassing spirit that would come against you. And I encourage you to rise up in authority. I didn't even feel like there's some marriages that have been, there's been some stuff going on trying to separate wives and husbands with the very thing I'm talking about right now. And you know who you are. And some of you have been waking up in the middle of the night and it's like a big chunk of lead's just on your chest. And you can feel the pressure that's opposing you. That is oppression many times. Cast that off. Cast it off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now back to the message. And this promise of the resurrection, just God's power to bring people up. I want to illustrate it for you. We're almost finished. This is a magnet. It's a very strong magnet, quite heavy too. If you got any hardware in your mouth, don't come around it. You might jerk your teeth out. It's strong. Okay, we're going to let this be the ground out there somewhere. I made a birdseed grave, okay? In this grave, I buried some, we'll just call them people made out of bolts. Here's the illustration. This is a chunk of metal, but it's full of power and energy right now. I don't know how that works. But it's got power in it. You can't see it. But I want to demonstrate it. All right? When Jesus comes back and the Lord gives the shout, you know, graves are bursting, saints are shouting, it's going to be a great getting up morning. But I want you to observe. This is kind of an illustration of it. You can see it on the screen if you're not close enough. They came out of there. Now, multiply that a billion times a trillion times ever how many Googles. And you're still not close to the power of God. In the realm that we can't see, a power that we may not even know is present, when God releases that power, He'll bring together the saints. He'll gather him together. And there won't be a one. No matter what happened to their body, there won't be a one that he will leave out at the resurrection of the just. And Jesus said that the Lord, that Paul said that Jesus would descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first. Get this. This is Jesus coming back. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with the dead that have risen first. We're going to caught up together with them in the clouds. There's your reunion. And then we will meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our future. Are you ready for it? If you don't know Jesus, you're going to miss it. Because there's physical death when the spirit leaves the body. There's spiritual death when your spirit's alienated from God because you don't know Jesus. The Bible talks about the second death. That's the lake of fire. You see, you cast yourself on Jesus now, then what He did on the cross, He bore your sins, He gives you His righteousness. You're square with God. God says so. But if you choose to leave Jesus out, then you'll stand before God on your own merits. And there's a record of everything we've ever done. John today talked about the books. But my goodness, I got a flash drive on my desk in there that you could put, no telling how many Library of Congress is on. You think, if man can invent a computer that processes so many times, you could take all the people in the world and a computer could process, if every one of them was a bit of data, there's computers that could process them hundreds and hundreds of millions of times per second. You think God has trouble thinking about each one of us millions of times every second? If man can invent something that do... give God some credit here. The second death is when you die without Jesus because those books will be open and you're going to have to present your own righteousness. If you've sinned once, you're out. And we were all born sinners. There's no hope. But if you've trusted Jesus, your name is written in His book, the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm writing my name right now. It's in there. And it's nothing I've done except cast myself on Jesus. I hope you've done that. Don't miss out on the resurrection of the just. You'll have one. But it's not going to be a party time like when Jesus comes back for His own. Because the second death results in eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls the lake of fire, hell. The lake of fire. And you won't be poof. You will have cognition. You will experience pain and discomfort. The Bible has all this laid out. Well, I don't like that. You take that up with the Lord. You should like the part where God so loved you that He gave you His Son for you. All you've got to do is believe in Him and He'll give you eternal life. The Bible says it's so easy. No wayfaring fool can mess up how to get in. It's basically, Jesus saved me. I believe He died for me. God raised you from the dead. And that'll make an eternal difference in your life. And there's no way you can know on this side of that, on the wrong side of that decision, there's no way you can know what that means until you take that step of faith. But the moment you do, the Lord will come across the galaxies, as it were. He'll meet you. He'll forgive your sins, fill you with His peace, and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And there'll come a time when you'll be made perfect. Now, just to let a secret out, nobody in the room yet's there. But God loves us. I want you to stand with me. Our prayer team members, I want you to come right now. Our staff, our prayer team members, those of you that are for this service, you come now. Be here available on both sides of the platform. It's time to make a commitment. If you don't know Christ, I'm about to pray a prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, I've tried to faithfully preach the gospel today. I believe this with all my heart. Jesus will save you if you'll call on His name and believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead. You're basically placing your faith in Him, not your own ability to figure things out. You're casting yourself on Him. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I'm going to pray, and I just encourage you to pray this way. If you're here, and today's the day, you feel the Spirit of God bearing witness with you that what you're hearing is the truth, and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, just pray along these lines. Dear Father in heaven, I repent of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sin. Just tell Him that. If you mean it, just say it to Him. I believe in my heart God raised You from the dead. Just confess that to Him. Make it your confession today. Now this is important. Simply say, Jesus, You are Lord. Save me. Save me, Lord Jesus. God's Word says when we confess Him as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we call on the Lord, He said, whosoever calls on the Lord will be saved. You've just done that. If you did that from your heart, I believe the Spirit of God right now is bearing witness with you. It'll be challenged. So I encourage you to make a commitment. Share it with someone. We have people up here right now. Perhaps you could walk the aisle and just come forward and say, I just prayed that prayer. I'm giving my life to Christ. I encourage you to do that. Also, there's a card in the back of the seat you're standing in front of. If you haven't filled one out, you can take one of those, put your name, phone number on it, and there's some box to say, I'm committing my life to Christ today. Checking that card won't save you. But calling on Jesus will save you. But if you just did that, let us know by checking that box. If you want to... Maybe you've already believed in Jesus, but you haven't been baptized. Check that one as well. Put it in the offering box or bring it up to the front and give it to one of us. But make your decision known. That's not a secret thing. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So today, share that with someone. We would love for you to share it with us up here. Follow Him in baptism. That is one of the most beautiful ways to publicly confess Christ is by being baptized. There are others. During the time earlier when I was praying, I think there's some of you come up and seal some things in prayer. If you've been harassed, if you've been going through that, I think there's several people. I encourage you to get prayer for that. If you have another... in need of prayer, I encourage you to come. We've seen God touching and healing a number of people recently, powerfully. He is here to heal as well. So if you have a need in your body for physical healing, then I invite you to come. We're going to begin to worship a few moments. Just step out from where you are. Those of you who need prayer, those of you who are making the decisions, come now in Jesus' name as we begin to worship. Just come on to the front. God bless you. Are there others? Are there others to step out? It takes courage, but it's a step of faith. Come as we sing.
I love your presence. I love your